makes vows to the spiritual master. It's considered just like a marriage. The prospective bride studies the groom, and the groom studies the bride. Of course, now, as I often say, that the prenuptial takes longer than the actual marriage. But in the old days, people were serious about these things and studied very carefully. So similarly, the disciple studies the spiritual master. Is this someone who by his words and activities can inspire me in spiritual life, can give me good guidance and take me back to Krishna? So the disciple studies. And the guru also studies. My Guru Maharaj said we should not take a spiritual master as a show or like a pet, that, oh, I have a guru, I have this, I have that. It actually means that one is seriously willing to take instruction and guidance from the guru or the spiritual master. It's considered, this is the riddle I asked kids. Maharaj asked me to say a little something, that's why I'm going on. Don't worry, he'll correct whatever I say later on. But the famous riddle is, does anyone know what animal has two births? Well, before we go there, what? A bird. And why would a bird have two births? Can you explain that to us? Yes, Prabhu. So once, you can say one type, thank you, Prabhu. We didn't script this, but he knows. The first birth is that comes out as the egg. And the second birth is when he breaks out of that shell. So it's described in every birth, we get a mother and father. Even we see tigers have affection, reindeer have affection, different types of penguins have affection. I think only snakes, maybe some of them have affection. But for there's some familial relationship, parent and child. So in every, not to minimize at all, mother and father, but in every birth there's mother and father. But only in the human form of life, civilized, cultured human form of life, can one actually have the real mother and father of the father of a guru and the mother of the Vedas. And just as when you have mother, father, then you have birth, conception, when you have the mother of the Vedas and the father of the spiritual master, pure, genuine, true spiritual realization and life takes birth or can manifest. So it is considered that a human being is dwija or twice born. My Guru Maharaj used to say that you can buy a Brahman thread, maybe inflation used to be 6-10 paisa, maybe it's a rupee now, I don't know what it is, but you can buy a Brahman thread in the marketplace. There's even a type of incense you can buy called Gayatri incense, which will give you the Gayatri mantra, Om Bhura Bhuva, like that. But that will have no efficacy or no potency unless one takes initiation from a bona fide spiritual master and follows instructions. So it is considered the apex of human form of life that one actually takes diksha or initiation from a spiritual master. At that point, one actually becomes a human being. So today, we're having that initiation ceremony. Maharaj will say more about that. I wanted to give a little introduction about Radhanath Maharaj. As you may know, the Hare Krishna movement, founded by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, we have centers all over the world. And Radhanath Maharaj is a member of our... the sweet chirping of a cell phone. And there's another. It's found its mate. They're calling to each other. We have an international governing body that oversees all of our temples and farms and restaurants and so many ashrams. And so Radhanath Maharaj is a member of our international governing body of the Hare Krishna movement. He is also a guru, as obviously seen here, who has disciples all over the world. He is beloved throughout our society for giving good guidance, good instruction, excellent example of spiritual life all over the world. Acha. Sorry about that. Radhanath Maharaj, at a very, very early age, practically speaking just out of school, set out for India spontaneously, obviously from a previous life, attracted to genuine spiritual life. And he traveled all over India. He was living in caves in the Himalayas, at the banks of different holy tirthas. It is a long and wonderful story someday we hope to find in a book. until he finally met Srila Prabhupada, the founder of the Hare Krishna movement. And although appearing like a rishi, you know, in the long hair and so many things, after traveling all over different holy places, our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, looked out in the audience and said, "Bring him on stage." So the devotee's wondering, is it some dignitary? Is it some... But actually, even at that point, Srila Prabhupada had pointed out Radhanath Maharaj, had him come sit on the stage and sit next to him. Radhanath Maharaj also is the spiritual head of our temple in Chaupati in Bombay, an absolutely unbelievable place. It is considered one of the best managed materially and spiritually. They have yatras that travel all over India, thousands of people. They have the Bhaktivedanta Hospital, which is an Ayurvedic hospital and also a modern medicine. Best hospital in Bombay. So many things. They have eye camps. They travel all over India. So in so many ways, Radhanath Maharaj is a powerful, saintly person, and we are very fortunate to have him here today. So without further ado, please let us welcome Radhanath Maharaj.
I thank you all very much for assembling here this evening to attend this very auspicious and sacred ceremony of initiation. We are performing this wonderful ceremony on behalf of our beloved spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is coming in the unbroken disciplic succession of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Lord Chaitanya met with Sri Rupa Goswami on the banks of the confluence of Jamuna, Ganga, and Saraswati. The place is called Prayag. At the Dasasvamedha Ghat, he instructed him in the science of Krishna consciousness for 10 days. He impregnated in the heart of Sri Rupa Goswami not only the highest, most complete revelation of the Absolute Truth, but the capacity to fully realize it and practice it. He explained therein how rare the human birth is. According to the Padma Purana, there are 8,400,000 species of life in which the eternal soul, which is part of God, is transmigrating. Of the 8,400,000 species of life, the human birth is so rare. There are 400,000 species of human life. All the lower species are simply passing through the karmas that they have created in previous human births. The plants and vegetation, aquatics, insects, reptiles, birds, beasts, they simply live according to their nature. They have no free will. When we come to the human form of life, we are given this great treasure of a benediction of free will. We can make choices. And our destiny is determined by the choices we make and the activities we perform. Therefore, human life is a life of very, very serious responsibility. We are responsible for our every word and our every act. And according to the laws of nature, there will be a reaction for everything we do. That is the laws of karma. Within human society, it is very rare to find someone who is following sincerely religious principles beyond just lip service. Most people in the world today who follow religion, it is more of a social identity, oftentimes fanatical, sentimental, but it rarely really changes the quality of one's life. Most people who do follow the scriptures of religions, they do it because they want better enjoyment in this world. That is called karmakanda. Or maybe even elevation in a future life to a higher realm of enjoyment. A rare soul realizes the futility of material happiness and strives for liberation. Mukta namapi siddhanam narayana parayana sudurlabha prasantatma koteshvapi mahamuni. However, the highest, ultimate form of liberation is pure, unconditional, loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya explained, after wandering through millions of species of life and wandering through and suffering and birth and death in various human lives, it's very, very great fortune when one comes in contact with the spiritual master. The spiritual master plants the seed of devotion within the heart. That seed awakens our natural propensity for loving service to the Supreme Lord. There is nothing more precious than that. Human life is a junction. We can either take the road toward eternity and spiritual enlightenment, or the road toward reverting back to the lower species. When we receive that seed of bhakti, we must be aware of its value. If you do not comprehend the value of a precious jewel, you will neglect it, and it will be lost. Because there are thieves who know the value, and they're always watching over it, waiting for your inattentiveness so that they can steal it away. In this case, Maya is a great thief, the greatest thief. She knows the value of pure devotion. She knows that this seed of devotion, if it is cultivated properly, you will become liberated from her influence forever. It is the illusory energy's duty to try to somehow steal that jewel away. And she orchestrates the entire creation in such a way to somehow or other take that seed of devotion away from us. If we understand its value, we will protect it as the most precious, valuable gift in our life. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained how we protect that seed of devotion. Especially by associating with people who are encouraging us for the higher life of enlightenment. We must also guard against materialist activities that drag us back down into the bodily conception of life, put us under the influence of the modes of passion and ignorance. It is for this reason, at the time of initiation, we take these vows to follow four regulative principles. No illicit sex, no intoxications, no gambling, and no meat eating. These are four pillars that cause material bondage. Simultaneous to protecting the seed of devotion, we must give it the proper nourishment. By watering it with the process of devotional service, beginning with hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting the holy names of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya quoted from the Purana, quoted from the holy scriptures, that this age of Kali is an ocean of faults, but there is one benediction. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can attain the ultimate perfection of liberation. Harinam, harinam, harinam eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatir anyata. That in the age of Kali, there's really only one way by which we can attain the perfection of love of God. This is not anyone's opinion. This is the word of the Holy Scripture. This is the dictation of the absolute truth. And that one way is the chanting of the holy names. Nam namakari bahuda nija sarva shaktis tatrapita niyamita smaranena kala. The Lord has many names. The Lord has appeared in various times, in various circumstances, in various incarnations, and revealed Scripture according to the needs of the people of that time. The name of God is revealed in all of those scriptures. Great scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are not simply according to time, place, and circumstance. They are presenting the full-fledged eternal truth, the science of self-realization. And therein we find the authorized names of God. And these names of the Lord are so transcendentally potent. The Lord is non-different than the name of the Lord. The beauty, the sweetness, the power, the mercy, the pastimes, the abode of the Lord are all within the name. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that if we chant the name properly, the name in and of itself alone reveals everything to us. We realize the form of the Lord, the qualities of the Lord, the associates of the Lord, the abode of the Lord, the pastimes of the Lord, and ultimately we realize our eternal identity in relation to the pastimes of the Lord. All that is required is the proper chanting of God's name. We must guard against 10 offenses. It is very important. I believe all of you know the 10 offenses to the holy names. I request everyone to recite the 10 offenses at this time. Trivida Prabhu, you can lead.
The blaspheming devotees who have dedicated their lives to the propagation of the holy names of the Lord. Two, consider the names of the demigods, such as Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. Three, disobey the orders of the spiritual master. Four, to blaspheme the Vedic literatures or any literary pursuits of the Vedic version. Five, to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be an imagination. Six, to give some mundane interpretation on the holy names of the Lord. Seven, to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy names. Eight, to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna to be one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as food of activities, karma kanda. Nine, to instruct the glory, holy name, to the faithless. Ten is to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna. Ten is not have complete faith in the chanting of holy names and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. It is also offensive to be inattentive while chanting. Anyone who claims to be a Vaishnava, devotee of the Lord, must carefully guard against these 10 offenses in order to quickly achieve the desired success, Krishna prema.
So we should understand these offenses, and we should be very, very careful to guard against. Lord Chaitanya explained to Rupa Goswami that of all the offenses, there is one called the mad elephant offense. To commit offense to those saintly persons who are dedicating themselves to the service of the Lord. If you allow a mad elephant into your garden, it creates havoc. Have any of you ever met a mad elephant? Vajri Narayan Prabhu was explaining how I at one time lived in the jungles of the Himalayas. In nice, comfortable caves sometimes. And some of the villagers in small villages in the jungles, they would explain to me, the most dangerous of all animals is the mad elephant. Because there's leopards, sometimes tigers, cobras and other serpents, a lot of monkeys. And people fear snakes and leopards and tigers. But my personal experience is if you leave them alone, they'll leave you alone. But mad elephant? Elephants go through a particular state, only the male elephant, where they just become mad. When a mad elephant comes, oftentimes they literally destroy an entire village and kill dozens of people. They're so big and they're so strong, they just uproot trees, they knock over huts, they knock over houses, they trample people, they're mad. In fact, I once went to a zoo and they told me the animal that causes the most harm to humanity is the elephants. When they go mad, very difficult to control them. So we have this little garden in our heart where this tender little creeper of devotion is just starting to grow. We're putting water. We have a little fence around it. What will happen if you allow a mad elephant in? So yes, we must be very, very careful not to commit offenses to saintly persons. Lord Chaitanya also explains, while you're putting water on the seed of devotion, weeds will grow with it. We must be very, very careful to be able to discriminate what is the original creeper of devotion and what is the weed. Because sometimes they look identical. And what are those weeds? Desire for material profit and enjoyment. Desire for prestige, distinction, respectability, high position, desire for followers and power. The weeds of envy. And we see sometimes, as we're becoming more spiritually developed, these weeds are also growing along with it. We must be very careful not to put water, not to encourage and serve those propensities, but rather we must see them for what they are and uproot them. And how to do that? Lord Chaitanya gave us 8 verses called Shikshastakam, which teach from the fundamental beginning of chanting of the holy names up until how the holy name brings us to the highest revelations of pure love. The 3rd verse is very important. Trinadapi sunichena taror ivasi hishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. That one should be more humble than a blade of grass. We trample on the grass. We sit on the grass. The animals do all sorts of things on the grass. The grass is always there, just ready to serve. More tolerant than a tree. The tree stands in the heat of the sun to give us shade. Stands in the ice of the winter and gives its wood to keep us warm. Even when giving up its life, gives us wood to build a house to live in. More tolerant than a tree. Ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. In this state of consciousness, we could chant the holy names constantly. If we study this verse, if we make this a priority in our life, then we will not make offenses. Then our spiritual growth will flourish very rapidly. Therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, one of our great acharyas, he explains that we should take this verse, Trinadapi sunichena taror ivasi hishnuna, and we should put it on the string of the holy name and wear it always. Keep it always close to our heart. Then there will be no impediments in our spiritual progress. If we aspire to cultivate this type of humility, tolerance, and willingness to offer respects to others, then Krishna will manifest within the name in such a powerful and profound way that purification takes place. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapana. The mind is compared to a mirror. When you look in the mirror, what are you hoping to see? Yourself. Yes? Does anyone look in mirrors to see anything else? When I was living in Himalayas and traveling, I don't remember looking in a mirror for about 2 years. There was none around. But when I did, I was shocked what I saw. Actually quite disappointed. But when you look in a mirror, you're supposed to see yourself. Similarly, the mind is a mirror. Through the mind, we're supposed to perceive our true self, our eternal self, which is Satchidananda, eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. But what happens when that mirror, due to neglect, accumulates layer after layer after layer of pollution, dust, dirt, and debris. Not only for years, but for lifetimes. Then what do you see when you look in the mirror? You simply see dust, debris, and pollution. You can't see yourself. The dust of lust and envy and false pride, ego, and so many attachments, greed, so many illusions. And that's who we think is ourself. Human society today, in great majority, in their minds, they think all of these material designations and attachments are who they are. They have no clue that it's just artificial, superficial pollutions. Hardly a person even makes any attempt to clean the mirror of their mind. The chanting of the holy names of the Lord is the method of cleansing the heart. And gradually, as it is cleaned, we realize our eternal nature and our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as we realize Krishna, who is all attractive, naturally our love for Krishna awakens. Lord Chaitanya explains, if we just protect this seed carefully and carry on watering it with hearing and chanting and performing devotional service with a proper attitude, then what takes place is this creeper of devotion. It grows and grows and grows. It pierces through the layers of material existence and enters into the spiritual sky of the Brahma Jyoti, which is the state of liberation or mukti. But it doesn't stop growing there. It continues to grow into the Paravyoma, which is the place of the eternal spiritual planets or abodes of the Lord, called Vaikuntha. And the gardener continues to water the creeper of devotion, and it grows beyond all Vaikunthas and attains Goloka, Krishna Loka, the abode of Sri Sri Radha Giridhari, where the most intimate spiritual pastimes of love are eternally being enacted. There the creeper bears a sweet, as Dravida would say, luscious fruit. The fruit of love of God, prema bhakti. That fruit lays right at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And Krishna tastes that fruit and then allows us to taste the sweetness of that fruit. That is the experience that every living being is longing for in all circumstances in life. It's the sweetness of that fruit of love of God that all species are striving to taste through economic development, through relationships with the opposite sex, or today with same sex sometimes. People are striving to find that taste through power, through conquering others, through various skills. But they never really get it. But when you taste that sweet fruit of love of God, your heart is satisfied forever. A devotee is not looking for peace. A devotee is looking for ecstasy. Because the soul is Sat Chit Ananda. Shanti or peace is sat. It is the eternal nature of the soul. But in Krishna, the all-attractive one, we realize Satchidananda, the eternal ecstasy of love. That is our goal. That is our aspiration. That is what we live for. That is what human life is meant to achieve. Krishna, in the beginning of creation, spoke this knowledge to Brahma. Brahma spoke to Narada Muni, his son. Narada spoke to Vyas. Vyas is the compiler of the Vedic literatures. Many years later, the great Acharya Madhva, he received this knowledge from Vyasadeva. And a perfect, pure disciplic succession, preserving and illuminating this transcendental mercy, has been on this earth since the beginning of creation. In the age of Kali, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he appeared in the role of a devotee to teach us how to be devotees. Krishna tells us in Gita, Sarva Dharman Purityajya, we should surrender, abandon all varieties of religion and surrender unto me. I shall relieve you of all sinful reactions. Do not fear. But who knows how to follow that? The Gita tells us, but there has to be example. So Krishna again appears with the love of Sri Radharani in the role of a devotee to teach us by example. When Ramchandra appeared in this world, he accepted a spiritual master, Vishwamitra Muni. He learned from him. He served him. When Krishna and Balaram appeared in this world, Krishna accepted a spiritual master, Sandipani Muni. He learned from him and he served him. Humble service. He would go out and collect wood and bring it back. Even the Lord, who is Jagat Guru, the Supreme Guru, he accepts a spiritual master just to teach us its importance. Tad vijnanartham sugurum eva abhigacchet. If we want to understand the truth, it's necessary to approach Guru. Lord Chaitanya, he actually played in his pastimes as a scholar of mundane academics. And he was ridiculing devotees and even harassing them in a very loving and humorous way. Yes, Dravida Prabhu. And the devotees were praying. They were praying day and night to Krishna. If Nimai, Lord Chaitanya, if Nimai becomes a devotee, he's so beautiful, he's so attractive, he's so learned, he's so glorious in every sense, he could make the world dance in kirtan. One time, Lord Chaitanya saw Srivas Thakur as he was returning from the river Ganges. And Srivas said, Nimai, why are you wasting your time with all this mundane academics? How will it help you at the time of death? Human life is meant for loving Krishna. Bhakti is the only means of achieving love of Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya, who would usually challenge him, he said, soon I will meet a spiritual master and I will become a devotee. By your blessings. And then he took the dust of the feet of Srivas Thakur. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gaya in order to take initiation from Ishwara Puri, who was the disciple of Madhavendra Puri in this great disciplic succession that we have been being discussed. He received the mantras from Puri Maharaj. He served Ishwara Puri. He cooked for him. He cleaned for him. He massaged him. Lord Krishna explains, Tadvadi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnani nastatva darshana. If one wants to know the truth, one should approach a spiritual master, inquire submissively, and render service. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. It was after he accepted diksha from Ishwara Puri that Lord Chaitanya began to manifest his supreme ecstasies of love. He received the order from Ishwara Puri to spread the glories of the holy name. And he returned to Navadvipa and established the Harinam Sankirtan movement. In our disciplic succession, Lord Chaitanya is the guru of the six Goswamis. Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and then later on, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladev Vidyabhushan, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Gorkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and then our beloved Srila Prabhupada. Krishna explains, Evam Parampara Praptam, that transcendental knowledge and mercy should be received through this unbroken line of great masters in disciplic succession, who by their words and by their life have demonstrated pure devotional service to the Lord. Srila Prabhupada, by his kind mercy, made this most precious gift of the treasure of love of God available to the entire world. For the first time in our modern history, he has taken the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, giving access to the highest realms of the spiritual existence to all of us. Therefore, we honor him and love him as the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. ISKCON is Prabhupada's personal life's offering to the Guru Parampara. Prabhupada explained, ISKCON is my body. Prabhupada explained he shed buckets of blood to bring each devotee into this society. And when were there difficulties? How much sacrifice and ordeal Prabhupada was willing to undergo to give strength, to give substance to his children. So within this ISKCON movement over the years, like any growing religious movement, especially at beginning stages in a foreign land, there have been difficulties. But Srila Prabhupada, however many difficulties, he wanted us to make it better by our own example. Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya, is spiritual master of all devotees for all generations to come. It is on the basis of his teachings. It's on the basis of his merciful sacrifice that we are all united. And all the devotees within ISKCON and leadership are working together simply to execute the mission of Srila Prabhupada. There is the Diksha Guru. The Diksha Guru is the person who, on behalf of the Parampara, is giving us our mantras. The person who is receiving our lifelong vows and offering them to Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara. The relationship between the disciple and the Diksha Guru is very, very sacred and must be honored very carefully. And then there are the Shiksha Gurus, those persons who out of their love and kindness are enlightening us, training us. If we want to make proper spiritual advancement, we must see the gift that they are giving us, the sacrifice. And they must be honored. They must be worshipped within our hearts. Amongst the Vaishnav community, we want to create what Prabhupada called the spiritual world. So yes, it is very important. All of you who are taking initiation today, please know that if you want to please me, you must honor and please my God brothers and God sisters who are very sincerely dedicating their lives to Prabhupada's mission. Because we are all simply working together to please Srila Prabhupada. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, what is the ultimate aspiration? Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Das 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 Anudas. To be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Srila Prabhupada was so humble. Sometimes he would say to his disciples, you are all representatives of my Guru Maharaj. In serving his disciples, he is feeling he is serving his Guru. And how did he serve us? In so many ways, according to what we needed, by giving us orders, sometimes by chastising, sometimes by cooking and cleaning. Prabhupada would do anything to connect us to Krishna in the Parampara. That is his divine grace. That is the spirit. Servant of the servant of the servant. We should work to make Prabhupada's life's offering, ISKCON, a strong, vibrant, wonderful society. By honoring all the spiritual masters, Shiksha Gurus and Diksha Gurus. By honoring and respecting every disciple's relationship with them. By honoring not only our own God brothers and God sisters, but all the Vaishnav community. We're all a family. And through humility and cooperation, reveal Krishna to the world who is all attractive. Yes, make this the motto and goal of your life, to be the humble servant of the servant of the servant. To be very strict in your chanting of the holy names. Prabhupada had us vow to chant at least 16 rounds every day. I heard one devotee at time initiation, Prabhupada said, how many rounds will you chant? And he very convincingly said, 16 rounds, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada very gravely said, at least. Minimum 16 rounds. At the most, it takes 2 hours. that 2 hours is such a sacred part of our life. We should give such full attention, concentration. We should worship the holy name. To the degree we take our chanting seriously, the name will actually have great effect within our heart. The name is the deity of Krishna. Just as the pujari is worshiping the deity with great care, we should worship the holy name as we are chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And by the mercy of the Lord, the treasures of the spiritual world are revealed. It is my very, very great fortune that Srila Prabhupada is giving me the association of such a wonderful society of devotees. And we are all here to help you to go back home, back to Godhead. The vows that you're going to take today are the most important vows of your life. In fact, initiation is the most serious thing you will ever do in your entire life. To the degree we take our vows seriously, we will reap tremendous spiritual benefit. As Bhaji Narayan Prabhu explained in the beginning, initiation is not just a formality. It is not just to get a new name or to get some honor and distinction within the society of devotees. The spirit of initiation is the spirit of surrendering our hearts. Prabhupada said, don't try to keep your guru just like a decoration on your wall. The relationship of guru is something very real. It is something very deep. We should be eager to learn. But in order to be eager to learn, we have to be humble and recognize that I do not know. Sanatana Goswami was the greatest scholar on earth, practically. But when he approached his guru, Lord Chaitanya, he said, I don't know anything. What's the use of all my scholarship? I don't know who I am. I don't know. I'm still suffering. I don't know where I'm going. Please instruct me. That is the mood. To inquire submissively. It's not that you inquire submissively and then you become somebody great. We inquire submissively always from senior devotees. In fact, Srila Prabhupada explained the qualification to be a guru is to be a good disciple. Not just at the beginning, but forever. The spiritual master is simply eternally serving his spiritual master. Eternally serving every living entity. So please take this very serious. A life of service. A life of adherence to the sacred principles of devotion. One time, there was an initiation. And when within a few days, one of the initiates just left and gave up his devotion. And Prabhupada said, he was never initiated. Initiation isn't just throwing seeds in a fire. Real initiation is the dedication and the sincere commitment of the heart. This ritual is a very, very necessary formality to confirm it before the deities, before the guru, before the fire, and before all the Vaishnavas. It's the formal link or connection to the current of mercy of the whole parampara. But that link is not just from the ritual. It's from the substance of our consciousness that is going into the ritual, which means our commitment, our accepting responsibility, our enthusiasm to carry out the mission of Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnava society. That is what initiation is about. When you're chanting these mantras, when you're throwing these seeds, you're offering your heart. You're offering your life. You're committing yourself. To the degree we have that sincerity, to that degree, there's real meaning and substance to our initiation. And we must protect our vows throughout our life. It is very, very sacred. So please take this very seriously. I am so very, very proud of all of you. For many years, each of you have been serving my Guru Maharaj's mission with your heart and soul. For many years, you have been striving and struggling to remain pure by following these regulative principles and chanting the holy names. For many years, you have been cooperating with Prabhupada's representatives. And personally, I would like to say that I am eternally indebted to all of you for this. I thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. At this time, we will call upon the initiates to come forward. And the process is first to offer obeisances, and then you will be given the chance to recite your vows, and then you will get your duly sanctified beads and your name, and then you offer obeisances again. Satyanarayan Prabhu, please come forward. This is a very happy day for all of us. This is a very happy day for all of us.
Yes, it's a very auspicious, very holy, and very special day for us and everybody.
Thank you. And thank you for your wonderful help to Sri Bhaji Narayan Prabhu and the Vaishnavas. What are the four regulative principles? Please state the four regulative principles.
Four regulative principles are no drinking, no alcohol drinking, no meat eating, no gambling, no external sex, and regulative principles are humility, honesty, truthfulness, righteous path, and
so you vow to follow these regulative principles. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. Yes?
Do you vow to follow them?
Yeah, I'll follow. I'll sincerely follow. I promise throughout my life I follow the principles of Hare Krishna.
And you vow to chant at least 16 rounds each day?
Do you vow to chant 16 rounds?
Yes, I promise before the God, before the air, before the I'll be very sincere, I'll be very serious, and I'll be chanting with very honesty and faithfully. I will chanting these names of Hare Krishna. This is the Krishna. Krishna name is my life. My soul, everything is Krishna, Krishna's name. That is the holy name that is going to give me the supreme path towards Lord Krishna's place.
Thank you very much. On behalf of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada and our beloved Guru Parampara.
Get the beads now. He's going to give you the beads.
He's a very enthusiastic person. Huh? On behalf of Srila Prabhupada and our beloved Guru Parampara, we offer you the new name, Sri Giridhari Das. What are the four regulative principles?
No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no external sex, no illicit sex.
And you will chant at least 16 rounds each day?
I will do 16 rounds each day.
And to always strive to be servant of the servant of Prabhupada's devotees? Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
This is one of the 108 names of Srimati Radharani. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada and our beloved Guru Parampara, we are very happy to give you the new name, Kamala Sundari Devi Dasi.
Sundari Devi Dasi Ki
Jai. Sri Giridhari Prabhu Ki are the four regulative principles?
No eating meat, no illicit sex, intoxication, no gambling.
You vow to chant at least 16 rounds each day?
At
and to always strive to be servant of the servant of Prabhupada's devotees. Thank you very much. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada and our beloved Parampara, I'm very happy to offer you the new name, Ramananda Das.
Ramananda Das ki.
Ramananda Prabhu is very, very dear to His Holiness Gunagrahi Swami Maharaj. Today I am very grateful that Gunagrahi Maharaj has accepted me as the servant of his servant. What are the four regulative principles?
No meat, fish, and eggs, no intoxication, no gambling, no diseases.
Thank you very much. And you vow to chant at least 16 rounds each day. Mm-hmm. And to always strive to be servant of Prabhupada's devotees. Thank you very much. This is a name of Sri Radharani, which means she is always enjoying the highest bliss of pure love. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara, we offer you the new name, Prem Nandini Devi Dasi.
Prem Nandini Devi Dasi ki.
What are the four regulative principles?
No meat eating, no intoxication, no sex, no gambling.
And you vow to chant at least 16 rounds each day. And to always strive to be servant of the servant of Prabhupada's ISKCON movement. Thank you very much. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada and our beloved Acharyas, we're very pleased to offer you the new name, Hari Nam Ananda Das.
Hari Nam Ananda Das ki.
Please say Jai much louder. Hari Nam Ananda Prabhu ki. Four regulative principles. And you vow to chant at least 16 rounds each day. And to always strive to be servant of the servant within Prabhupada's ISKCON society. Thank you very much. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara, we're very very happy to offer you the new name, Parameshwar Das.
Parameshwar Das ki
Parameshwar means Krishna, who is the Supreme Lord of all lords. Thank you very much. Bhakti John has been around for a long time. How long have you been associating with devotees?
Approximately 30 years.
30 years. He began chanting the holy names and following principles 30 years ago. So he's certainly taking this vow very seriously. Very proud of you. Very much so. What are the four regulative principles? You will chant at least 16 rounds each day. And always strive to be servant of the servant of Prabhupada's devotees. Thank you very much. You are, on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and our beloved Guru Parampara, we offer you the new name, Jagannath Charan Das.
Jagannath Charan Ki!
Jagannath Charan means the servant of one who is always taking shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath. Very loudly, please. Shri Giridhari Prabhu Ki. Srimati Kamala Sundari Devi Ki. Shri Parameshwar Prabhu Ki. Shri Harinamananda Prabhu Ki. Shri Ramananda Prabhu Ki. Srimati Premanandini Ki. Shri Jagannath Charan Prabhu Ki. And we have from Laguna Beach two wonderful devotees who have completely dedicated their lives to assisting the Panchatattva Temple. Very proud of both of you. Jai Nimai Prabhu and Priya Gopi Devi Dasi. They will be receiving the Gayatri Mantra and taking their vows of second initiation today. Thank you very much.